Greetings, Brother Steve, again with the Daily Inspiration this morning. This morning we're going to look a little bit at, we're going to continue in our thought of looking at the difference in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Was there a difference in how they were made right with God? And what we're trying to look at here is to show that whether it was Old Testament or whether it was New Testament or before the law or whatever, that throughout the whole Bible, there's a common thread, a common way for man to be made right with God, and that is to believe in God and to believe in his promise. Yesterday we looked at Adam and Eve and how the very first, even before the curse, God gave them a promise of a redeemer. And this morning we want to look a little bit at Noah. It's in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to start verse 8 and 9. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are all the generations of Noah. "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." And then in verse Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." So it says Noah was just a just man and perfect in his generation. So what does that mean, that he was perfect in his generation? I do believe that there is a sense in which God throughout the scripture deals with his people according to what they understand. And at that time, at Noah's time, Noah did not have the extent of the revelation of God that we do today. Only a little peep. He only had a small understanding of who God was and what he was like. Now, for us today, we have the whole scripture, the whole story of God's people from the beginning to the end. And then we also have the Son of God that came, as in Hebrews 1, it talks about that he is the express image of God, and he shows us exactly what God's like. So, anyway, but it says, Noah was a perfect man in his generation. So in his time, he was perfect. God looked down and he saw Noah. Noah believed in God, and Noah was considered perfect. Now, when I look at the a verse in the New Testament that also mentions Noah, 1 Peter chapter 3, and starting in verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 20 to 22. "As which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." And it says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." So here it's using the example, and this is a verse that can be a little confusing, talking about baptism and comparing it to Noah's ark and how Noah was saved by water through the ark. And now, in the like figure, we also are, even baptism doth also now save us. And so there is some people that want to say that that is saying that baptism is needed for salvation or to be made right with God, and that if somebody has not been baptized, even though they believe, they are not, and they would die in that state, they are lost. And so we want to look at Noah a little bit and just compare those, because that's the example that Peter uses here. So when the verses that we just read about Noah, how Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, that was actually the reason that God looked to Noah for the building of the ark. It wasn't the ark that made Noah a just man and perfect and a righteous man. It was because he believed God. And so then why does Peter use that comparison? Well, the same way that Noah, what he believed moved him to action. It made him obey. So, for example, Noah was a righteous man before he built the ark. And so God looked at him, and he was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And so God gave him this command. God told Noah what was going to happen. And so Noah looked at that, and he believed it, and he was moved to action. And if Noah would not have built that ark, there's two things. Number one, he would have been lost. He would have died with all the rest of the world. The other thing is, it would have been absolute proof that Noah did not believe God. Because if he believed what God said, then it was going to make him do something. It was going to move him to action. It could not be otherwise. God had told him that there would be a flood, and so Noah was to build the ark. And so Noah was saved from the water by that ark, by building that ark. But it was also proof that Noah believed God. And even so, for us today, it is the same way. If we do not obey God, it is just perfect proof that we do not believe God. When God says that we should be baptized, then that's what needs to happen. And I'm going to look at a few verses here in just talking about baptism just a little bit here. Going through the book of Acts here, I have several verses here I want to look at, starting in Acts chapter 2, and where a lot of this was being taught. So we start in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. First of all, it says, And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so here's the Peter commanding the people to repent and be baptized. And Jesus also, in Matthew, I think it was, should have brought that up as well, is how he said that they should be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he went off. If I can find that verse. Matthew 28, maybe. 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So there's a very direct command to be baptized by Jesus himself, that you should be baptized, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, baptism was not such a foreign concept to them. That baptism is not necessarily new to the New Testament. John the Baptist, he came baptizing people in water for the remission of sins. And then also, seems like Jesus and his disciples did as well. But when you look at the Old Testament, the Leviticus law, that was a common practice back then already, that people should be baptized. So Aaron and his sons were the priests or the high priest, and they were to be washed before they went into the temple, that they would be washed with water. And also different places it talks about something, if somebody had contact with something that was unclean, they were to wash with water, which was a symbol of being cleansed. And I do believe that in the New Testament, the washing of water or baptism is of course it is symbolic. It talks about it there in the verse in Peter that does not have any power to the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but that is a symbolic thing that has to do with the washing away of our sins. And more to do with freedom from sin than actually forgiveness of sin. I think I'm going to end there. Maybe we'll finish up with that in the next meditation. God bless.